Howdy, I'm an addict. My problem's David. And a friend asked me to speak at a meeting, and I didn't really catch where it was until later on when he said, "Oh, it's in Ocean City, and it's in front of a bunch of people that I don't know." And it's still troublesome for me, but I do it because that's what they told me to do. In the very early parts of my recovery, they told me that if I ever heard anybody sharing their opinion, that I had their permission to ignore them and to get away from them if you could. Because nobody's opinion ever saved anybody's life. What we're doing here is we share our experience, our strength, and our hope. You know, what it was, what we did, and how it worked out. And that's coincidentally the only thing I seem to be able to hear. I really can't trust anybody who hasn't been where I've been. And most of the time, throughout my life, when people were trying to give me advice, it was like Charlie Brown's parents. So I spent about 17 years trying to get clean before there was any NA in D.C. And I went to AA meetings, and they were aggravating. And my mom was a drunk, and she never got sober at AA. And I had D4 DWI, so they just kept sending me to these goddamn meetings, and I hated them. I just hated them. He said history, so I looked up the history of Narcotics Anonymous. I got here 30 years ago, and Narcotics Anonymous was 34 years old when I got here. So I really don't know anything about what happened in California. I have a friend who was there, and she tells me all this stuff, but I wasn't there. And I got all twisted up about it, and I talked to my sponsor, and he says, just share your experience. That's what I'm going to try to do. For me, I knew I was a drug addict in 1970 when I went away to school. I only applied to one school. It was New Mexico State. And within 2 months, I was in Juarez in a dirt floor adobe building with a guy with a shotgun and a guy with a bunch of balloons of different colors. Mm-hmm. And I had a terrible, terrible habit. And I got hepatitis down there in 1970. And they said I had non-A, non-B. I've had that. I just got rid of it like a month ago. I had it 44 years. And a lot of stuff's happened. I've been sick ever since I got clean. But here's the amazing part of the whole thing is, when I got here, I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting on February 5th, 1986, and it was across the street from the rehab. Oops, I was in at NIH. It was at a suburban hospital, and there was a guy named Chris there, and he was a guy I used to cop dope from downtown. Who was the guy that I always used to say to my friends, "Boy, if I ever get like Chris, you really need to take me away." But I heard he was dead, and I walked into this meeting, and he wasn't dead, and he looked pretty good, and he weighed 50 pounds more than the last time I saw him, and he had teeth. That was huge. He had teeth. Yeah, Chris didn't have any teeth for 10 years I knew him, what happened that day, I had been sent to meetings and hated them, and I finally figured out I could pass that piece of paper around the bar, so I didn't have to go to those meetings anymore. So I went to this meeting, and there was Chris, and I went, wow. And it was the first moment I ever thought people like me could ever get clean and stay clean on purpose. I mean, I knew people that stayed clean in Lorton, I stayed clean inside, no problem. From age 16 till 34, I was either on parole, on probation, or in jail the entire time. No breaks. And when I got to the first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, a guy named Warren came up to me, gave me his number, says, "I'm your temporary sponsor." And he drove me down to an AA club in Washington 6 days a week, 5th and K, Metropolis Club, and I went there 6 days a week for 5 years. And I got told a lot of things down there that you don't hear too much anymore. Sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up, and you might hear something you can't unhear, maybe. So I really was frustrated with no NA in my area. And then when I went to that first NA meeting, I was still really skeptical. But at the end of the meeting, Chris said something to me that I never forgot. What he said to me was that, he was just like me. I knew it, I could no longer disregard what was being said to me because I knew he was a drug addict, dope fiend, just like me. And he intended to die on 14th Street behind Ben's Chili Bowl with me with a spike in my arm. And I was okay with that because I already tried everything else to get clean. I should say I was in three different therapeutic communities, one for 12 months and two for 18 months, and I shot dope the day I left all three of those places. I tried acupuncture, and that didn't work. 2 days later, I went back to get my money from that little Chinese guy, and I thought he was going to have a heart attack. I was sick, and I was pissed. And I got my money back, and I went and got it. So, you know, I really thought I was smart out there. But I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I found out that the good news for someone like me is that I'm just a garden variety drug addict that needs to go to a meeting a day to have somebody else tell him what he sees so I can get some kind of objectivity. See, I know as a direct result of doing these steps, which I hate, that I don't see anything like what anybody else sees when they look at me. When I look in the mirror, I see something, and it's not like anybody else in here sees. I was diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder when I was 8, and they told my parents I was biochemically obligated to do whatever I was told not to do. So I've been in trouble my whole life, and when I got to the program, they said first thought wrong, and I said, yeah, well, duh, who doesn't know that? And so, you know, this whole thing about the history and what Greg was talking about, I had the exact same experience. You know, I had to do my homework, right? I wasn't going to walk up here and not have read that stuff. And what I read was a bunch of different versions of the same story of people who were at the same place who said different things happened. So when I called my sponsor about that, that's when he said it was important not to share your opinion, just to share your experience. And I, after about 6 years of going to those other meetings by the courts, gave up on those meetings and knew that there was no help for me in 12-step programs and had resigned myself to the fact that I was going to die. I mean, I was okay with it at that point because I tried everything else, you know. 6 years of my life was spent inside therapeutic communities trying to get clean, and it didn't work. And I figured if 6 years is not going to work, 60 minutes in some church basement is not going to help me. I'm just, whatever it is about me, I just can't do this. And the gift, you know, that I got that day at that NA meeting was that I considered that I had been wrong about that. That was the big gift. You know, my life has been really difficult all 30 years I've been here. You know, I had hepatitis. I think I told you I did 6 years of chemo at NIH, and at the end of those 6 years, they called my wife and I and said, you know, you have hepatocellular carcinoma. It's not survivable. You got about 3 months to live. The liver list waits 4.5 years. Do the math. You're going to die. You need to go home, get your affairs in order. I was getting ready to celebrate 19 years in here, and I had done what was reasonably expected or suggested to me, and I was pissed. You know, I was really angry. And I was at a meeting down at Metropolis, and I was walking out after sharing about how unfair my life was, and this woman named Carmelita came out after me, and she said to me, David, did you do it? Did you ever do anything you didn't get caught for? She said that I should get on the ground every morning and kiss the ground and thank God that there's no justice. You know, people talk about earning the seats in here. Man, I didn't earn a seat in here, man. I earned a 6-foot hole in a cage. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know anybody in here that did anything good to get in there. Matter of fact, there was a time, you know, early on when they talked about, you know, there's no surveillance, it's important, somebody mentions today that at that time it was illegal for 2 convicted felons to be in the same area. They got arrested for it. That's why we were under no surveillance at any time. Because if you'd been down, you weren't going to any of them meetings, man. Because they got the spyglass out on them, you know, and they're just gonna. It was a whole different time, you know. First 10 years of my recovery, every meeting I went to was based completely on crosstalk and feedback. That's how my life got saved. I used to tell you if you got upset, they said, "Well, if you don't want feedback, don't bring that shit up." And, you know, I can't figure out where, you know, since it doesn't say anything about crosstalk in any of our literature, I don't know how it happened. It's kind of like the Lord's Prayer disappeared in D.C. too. But I know how that happened. It happened by a group of friends of mine that were Jewish went around to each group and unbalanced the group conscience and voted it out. And this guy was a friend of mine. We used to argue about it all the time. Other than that, we agreed on most stuff. But here's the deal. I got upset about that. I called my sponsor, and my sponsor said, Dave, I got great news. It's not your job to decide what happens in some other group that you don't go to. It's basically none of your business, you know. And the program, I used to think over these years that it changed into something different and it wasn't going to be right and blah, 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 blah. program is always exactly what it's supposed to be for whoever gets there right when they get here. See, that's what I believe. Because here's the deal. This program can't possibly be cookie cutter. It wouldn't work. None of us are the same. Everybody's experience leads them to a different place when they get here. So they need to hear something a little bit different. So when I hear something at a meeting that's whacked, well, that wasn't for me. But somebody in there might have needed to hear that. And how do I know that it didn't just save somebody's life? So who am I, you know? Most of the time, Al used to tell me, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, the right thing for you to say is nothing. And 99 times out of 100, the right thing for you to do is nothing. Just sit down and be quiet, and, you know, more will be revealed. You'll probably hear the answer. No matter what problem I had when I called him, he would say, look, I don't know what to tell you to do about that, but let's go to a meeting. We'll probably hear about it. And that's, you know, he said a lot of things that I wanted to try to remember. He said, you know, if you go to a meeting and the last letter of the meeting is A, you're in the right place. If recovery is what you're looking for, it's probably what you'll find. And if it's not, don't worry. You won't find it. You know, if you're practicing the honesty, the open-mindedness, and willingness that we're supposed to practice in this program, it doesn't matter where you are, man. You'll listen for recovery and you'll hear it, because that's been my own experience. I have a good friend named Norman Barber who went to New Orleans with me, with Carmeline and Doreen and Arthur and everybody. And she was the final speaker at that convention in 88, I think. And she saved 15 minutes for Norman, who got up and explained to the crowd. Oh, by the way, I should mention that at that convention, there were little buttons that said Anders with a circle and a cross through it. And I was all upset. I said, oh my God, this program that just saved my life is getting ready to disintegrate. You know, they're infighting and all that. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, after all the marathons I could deal with, I called my sponsor back in D.C. And he said the same thing he always said. Great news, Dave. It's not your job to decide how people identify themselves at any meetings. It's just not your job. He also used to say that it was nice that I was getting those ducks in a row, but he's pretty sure they weren't my ducks. You know. The thing is, what I need to do is remember that I'm there to save my own life. And what I need to hear is what to do about whatever problems I have in my life. And everything else is for somebody else. And, I'm really grateful that there's no one right way to do this. I could never, never, ever have gotten this. You know, my history with AA and NA has been that until NA came around, I couldn't identify at all with AA. And I spent 17 years going to those meetings trying to get a year. And it never worked. I tried everything else in between. I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I haven't had a compulsion since that day. I haven't had a desire to use any dope since that day. I don't know what happened. I didn't ask for it to be lifted, but the compulsion to use dope was lifted from me. And I was somebody, I have to tell you, that everybody gave up on. I had been to Montgomery General with Norman twice. The third time I called him, he said, David, don't call me anymore. You're not listening, and I can't help you. You know, I love you, man. You're my friend, but I can't help you, man. Get 18 months and come straight from jail there, and you can come in, but otherwise, you know. And his history was that he went to AA meetings because there was no such thing in D.C. when he got clean. My good friend Arthur Rico, I called him yesterday because he was here before me, and, you know, he knew he was at the first WANATA meeting you were talking about, and, you know. And I was twisted up about what to share here, and he said the same thing as my sponsor. He said, you know, if you come from what your experience is, you know, you'll probably get to the truth of the matter. The exact nature of this program is that it doesn't matter what you did, what you used, or what you expect here. What you'll find here is a way for you to comfortably live your life without doing dope, if you're willing. It says in our book that that it's only after complete surrender that there's relief from the alienation of the disease of addiction. And that's been my experience. You know, it wasn't until I said, okay, fine, I tried everything else. What do I do? And, you know, and when I first got clean, they used to ask you all the time, are you willing to go to any lengths? Because if you're not, please don't waste my time. Yeah, I could be talking to somebody who wants to hear this. Instead, I'm wasting my time with you, you know. Same thing with males and females. Back then, if somebody saw a guy with time talking to a young woman with less time, would take them outside and say, look, we can't do that here, because here people have to be safe, and if they are worried about you and the way you behave, then it's not going to be safe. So, but you know, everybody these days seems to be worried about hurting people's feelings. And you know what? That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. I'm just an old man that doesn't like things to change. That's really the facts here. And I did like the times when all we read was two paragraphs at the beginning of the meeting, so we could get right to sharing. But that's not how it is anymore. You know, NA is exactly what it's supposed to be for everybody, and everybody hears what they need to hear. And I really thank God every day there's no advanced NA, and I'm really glad that there's nobody in charge, because I would have figured out some way to identify out. I'm a knucklehead, you know. I still don't like to listen to other people. I have to make mistakes pretty regularly. But the truth is, everyone gave up on David, and David gave up on David. And then what happened is I went to that meeting, and Chris said, maybe you could get this, man. The other thing he said to me that day was that people like you and me, Dave, don't have a shot in here until we can figure out how to depend on somebody other than ourselves. I mean, if you're dependent on yourselves, my friend Carmel used to say all the time, she used to say, look, either you believe or you don't, and if you don't, you don't need to go. Bother coming back to these meetings, you know. You can just stay home because it really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, and if you do believe, you probably need to go sit down and shut up, you know. Because here's some givens in the program that it's been my experience to understand. If you meet somebody at a meeting and they're there for help, you have to know that they tried most everything they could think of already, right? And if they're going to argue with you about something, you can point out to them that we wouldn't be talking if you had any good ideas about this. Some people don't take that the right way, but the fact is, man, I'm trying to do as much as I can, as quickly as I can, because, you know, a lot of people are on their way to the program. When I was at Metropolis, what they told me, my marching orders were to go to a meeting, call my sponsor, help somebody, and don't tell anybody about it. And that somehow allowed me to change who I saw in the mirror the next day. There's magic in here, man, and the magic is that we are lifted, we rise by lifting others. That's the deal. And if that's not what you're doing and you don't feel right, you might want to try that. When they called me in and told me I had liver cancer and I had 3 months left to live and I didn't know what to do, I called my sponsor. I said, what the fuck am I going to do, man? This is crazy. He said, look, nobody's ever told me that. I don't know what you do. But if you go back to where you got clean and talk to those guys in there, I bet you won't feel as bad when you leave. And that's how it worked, you know. The only reason we have Narcotics Anonymous meetings is so we can share this message that you don't have to die like that with people who don't know. There's no other reason. We laugh a lot, we joke a lot, we bowl, we do all that other shit too. But the only reason we have meetings is so that we can share that message with others. And it's not so much that we care about them, because we do. It's so that I can reaffirm in myself what it is I'm doing. After a while, my life looked pretty good from the outside. People started thinking I had some idea about what I was doing, which I didn't. But it looked that way. You know, you heal up on the outside. And if it weren't for the newcomers in my life who I sponsored, that talked to me every day, I never made it through all the things that I've been through. You know? I mean, after the cancer and the transplant, and I had a heart attack, and then I had another heart. I had a heart attack most recently 2 months ago. You know, I was in the hospital. I got a titanium shoulder. I had kidney stones. I mean, the list goes on and on. Both my parents died. Everything that happened that I thought was going to make it okay for me to use dope has happened to me in the last 9 years. And I didn't even think about using dope. When they told me I was going to die, I didn't think about what I was going to tell my kids. My daughter was telling people for the longest time she was an NA baby, because she said, my mommy wouldn't have any babies, and my daddy till he got clean. And now I got an NA grandbaby, you know. So, you know, here's the deal. If you're looking to get recovery, man, it's my personal opinion, if you're writing, if you're keeping score, you know, writing, it's my personal opinion that if that's what you're listening for, it really doesn't matter what kind of meeting you're in. I've been to GA meetings, OA meetings, CA meetings. In Seattle or Eugene or Oregon or someplace out there, they have Unity Day, where all the programs get together and honor their common roots of Bill Wilson's 12 steps. You know, I hate these steps. I hated them in the beginning. I've done them 3 times. I do them because people that work these steps clearly are happier than those of us that weren't working them like me. So this is the best deal I ever found, and I was always looking for a deal. I really don't have a whole lot else to say other than, you know, there's a lot of opinions out there about this, but if you're here to get recovery, none of that really matters, you know, because it's right here. That's really all I got. Thanks very much.
All right, let's thank Dave one more time for sharing. All right, thank you for attending, and we will now close with the third step prayer. It is located on the back of your programs if needed. Many of us have said,
take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live.
Keep coming back.